Hey, hi, hello, it's Token Kearney. If you guys have been around for a while, you have heard me do a few different commercials for Anchor, a few different posts on my like YouTube and everything for whoever is sponsoring me or people that I'm working with. Well, I am thrilled to announce that this week I launched my own services. So if you go to redheadrunaway.com, you can actually work with me now. You can shop with me. There's a few different things on there that you can click and look under, but I have a coaching page available. So if you would like to figure out how you can run away with me, or if you can be professionally unprofessional, chase your own dreams, whatever it may be for you, you can now work with me, Token, this crazy individual, and make those things a reality for you. If you haven't seen my story, or if you haven't looked at everything, I really encourage you to do so, because I have finally gotten to the point where I have beat imposter syndrome. I have overcome the constant anxiety that I live with to make a career that I'm very proud of and something that I want to do. And now I'm offering the opportunity and the coaching style to teach that to everyone else. So if you have a goal, if you have something that you struggle with, whether it's organization, planning, figuring out how to get from point A to point B, I want to help you. Go to redheadrunaway.com/coaching, or just go to Redhead Runaway and browse and look and see what other services we have. And let's just have a chat. Let's just do a 15-minute, absolutely free consultation chat to talk about your goals and how we can get you from point A to point B. Because I would love to have you run away with me, you know? As I always say on my website, it'd be really cool if you would just lace up your shoes. It's time to run away.
What?
I'm sorry, who are you?
Oh.
I love other theater people.
Yeah.
We're trying to have a fucking community here, guys.
You know, I always laugh. Like, one of the things that I say is, like, it's really not hard being a human. But in fact, it is. It's.
Be excited.
No. Just thanks. Creepy, but thank you.
Hey, hi, hello. It's Token Kearney, and you're listening to Runaway Rambles. Today we are joined by one of my good friends from college, Casey Phillips, who is a brilliant theatrical person. She does stage managing, she's done writing, she's done directing. I cannot express how much I love this girl. And sitting and talking to her on the podcast, she has such a calming, tranquil voice. So that was a really enjoyable thing to listen to. I will tell you guys that we had some editing issues when it came to audio for this podcast. So if it feels a little choppy, please understand that that is what happened. It sucks. I've been in on the OR table operating on this podcast all day, trying to make sure that I get the good quality and the good conversation in here for you guys. But don't worry, because Casey will be back for another episode with us soon to make up for the fact that Anchor.fm kind of fucked me over with my audio. It's fine. They should fix their software. But, you know, what can you do? So we're just going to jump right on in and talk about all of the random things, actually. We go from hair wash to Frozen versus Tangled to talking about heritage, talking about gender, and then we end with feminism, because isn't every conversation supposed to end about feminism? But I hope you guys enjoy this little break from reality. That's the whole point of Runaway Rambles. And if you would like to join us on a Runaway Ramble, please, please stay tuned to the end of the episode, and I will tell you how you can get in touch with us so that you can join us on just a little chat to distract from the world. All right, let's jump right on in.
Oh, man.
Oh,
how are you
now
doing?
Now I started recording. I'm doing okay.
Good.
Full disclosure, I was like, I have to shower and make coffee, and then I rolled over for a half hour and then got up into the bathroom and was like brushing my hair while I had the kettle on so that the water would get hot, because I have to wash my hair today. And I was like, it's long now, you gotta brush it before you wash it, otherwise it's just never ever gonna happen.
Welcome to my world.
No one prepared me for that.
Yeah.
No one. So no one told me that, hey, this is how it's going to happen. Detangle first, otherwise you're going to lose half of your head.
Yeah, you're going to have a nightmare. I literally, like, I mean, what's showering anymore in this state of the world? But I did, I was like, let me recolor my hair. So I did that last night after, you know, epic long days of not showering. And I'm still getting used to the fact that it's like, I look like a an adult descendant, like a Disney villain.
Oh, no. When that toxic breakup happened, I texted my friend and I was like, I broke up with him. And all she said was Viking braids. That was it.
Oh, that was all that was said.
And I was just like, you understand me. That's perfect. So it's been growing since then. But I only wash it like... People are going to listen to this and think I'm gross. No. I only wash my hair once every like 10 to 14 days.
You know what? I've done that before. And I mean, I have some...
It works for me.
Yeah, it definitely like the natural oils like in your hair, if you can wait that long without like getting itchy and scratchy sort of situation, then it's actually pretty good for your hair.
I talked to one of my really good friends is a hairstylist. And I mean, she's the woman that... Remember when we were in college and I was like, no, I'm going home to get a haircut. It was her.
Oh, we would go see my... Yeah, I do remember that.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, Tony. And like when I came home in October this past year, we were home for her wedding. Like she always, whenever I was like, I want my hair to grow out, what do I need to do to make it healthy? And she's like, only wash it when you literally feel like you're a swamp monster. Wait a week and then wash it. Yeah. So she's like, 10 to 14 days is great. And the first 2 weeks are miserable because you're like, I am a swamp witch.
Yeah, I am disgusting.
But after you, right. After you get out of that, your hair is just like, wait a minute.
Yeah.
So I don't have like, cool, so this is cool. And it just like stops making the oil and it's good. And I actually have to put oil in my hair because my hair doesn't get oily enough.
Wow.
Yeah. I went to see somebody because I was like, it's just not doing what I wanted to. And she's like, it's dry. I was like, what the fuck do you mean it's dry?
I've been washing for 3 years. I don't understand. Where's my oil?
Right. So at most I'll like, mind you, I'm not going 2 weeks without getting it wet. Like, I'll scratch my head and stuff in the shower and let water rinse over it to get rid of the nasty. But I only shampoo it once every then. And then I have a shit ton of conditioners and sprays because I'm a lady.
Well, I support this because as someone, like, I think the hair is, like, the one thing I can control at any given time, usually. So, like, if you can make it the best you can, I think that's important.
What I've honestly, huge mood. Yeah. What I've learned about having long hair is that it can be terrible and unruly and not doing what you want it to do, and you will always get compliments.
Yeah. Oh my gosh. What is that about? Like, I feel like sometimes I feel like now I'm just bragging. Like, I don't, if I don't
go for it,
I don't do my hair.
We're not shy here.
I'm gonna talk about how great my hair is. No, I...
It's a nice turn of events from the normal conversation,
really,
so I'm here
really,
for it.
I will... I think... Well, I mean, heck, people have been calling me Rapunzel for so many years, and I, like...
First of all, that's not fair, because you claimed that before, like, the set... I remember, because Tangled came out, and you were like, this is my anthem, this movie was made about me.
Yeah, it was me, a full 100... But then, you know, Frozen came out, and then I was like, Elsa, man, she's a snow queen, like, I get that mood.
Okay. As far as I'm concerned, Rapunzel wins. That movie is way better.
Oh my god, I just posted this the other day and I was
screaming. I know, I saw.
Yeah.
I hate it. Everybody's like, oh my god, Frozen is everything. So I was like, so just fuck Rapunzel, right? Just like, fuck Now I See the Lights, fuck Pasquale, just the whole thing.
It's just like...
Flynn Rider, one of the greatest comedic timing, like,
it's perfect.
Men of all time.
Zachary Levi.
Not to mention his
gloves.
Oh my god.
Incredible.
Well, and then he was in, what was the, oh my god, the musical.
Oh, I saw that. She Loves Me. Yeah.
Thank you.
It was so
good.
Okay,
so he was in that?
Yes.
And then he was also in, what was the other one? It was like First Date?
Yeah, First Date the musical. Mm-hmm.
First
Krista
Date.
Because he sings... She was an original, like, the Addams Family. She was in that.
Yeah, because I just remember the song where he's like, she's so sweet and she's so kind. And then her verse is like, he was boring. He was boring and probably wasn't a good lie. And I was like, what the fuck?
Like, I don't agree with that at all.
Levi?
I'm very biased.
I was like,
biased,
first of all, have you seen him? He's beautiful.
He's perfect. He really is. And
then Flynn Rider has one of the best like arcs. Because you know how they have the, she loves him, he loves her, it's perfect. But his is the moment of, you can literally see in his eyes, just in the canoe.
Yeah, in the canoe, we all know that moment.
The lanterns, and he's looking at her, and it's just this simple, like, nothing else in the world matters. There's this huge, beautiful scene happening in the background, and all he's focused on is her smile. But you know, like, whatever. Elsa doesn't need anything. She's green. She saved her sister because they love each other. Yeah. Like, that's all fine
it
and
is.
Dandy. That it song, is. That show is great. Like, everybody loves Olaf, who's Samantha. But other than that, like,
Why? I'm dead.
Like, and then to add insult to injury, they add the little fucking fire salamander in Frozen 2.
So, okay, full disclosure, I've not seen Frozen 2 yet, but I've heard so much about it that I think, like, I'm not sure that I even want to see it at this point, and that's besides the point. But, like, I hear all these little, like...
Have you ever watched the TV show Avatar The Last Airbender?
I know of it, but I haven't sat down to watch it.
Yeah, that's basic. Okay, first of all... You need to go there. Yeah, it's basically she, like, goes to this village and realizes that the reason she has powers is because these people, like, these natives, I cannot remember the actual name for them, and I'm slandering it, especially because they did consult with an actual, like, native peoples to get the research on it. But they live with nature, and the nature spirits, like, help them, and her mom did something with, I don't remember, with the water spirit, so... It granted Elsa a gift.
Interesting. You know, I guess they're like sort of Slavic entities, these people, you know, and Arendelle.
Are they Slavic or Nordic?
Nordic. Yeah, maybe Slavic. They're not Nordic. They're
I don't know. They're those old, they're those like old white people that weren't problematic.
Well, and that's the thing. I guess like, I have not seen the movie and I can't speak to the research that the film has done, but I get a little anxious about the tales in which a, you know, white savior sort of comes in and takes ownership of these ideals and makes them their own and doesn't actually give due credit to the originator. But again, they could do that in the movie and represent them. But,
well, our all-time favorite, you know, person of color and person of interest speaking for them, Hadia, has posted lots and lots of comments on. I do too, and I get to see her quite often because she lives out here.
Visit.
She lives like maybe she's in, I use air quotes, LA for everyone that doesn't live in LA, but she's not like right in LA. Anyway. She's close enough where if you go into LA, we'll meet for breakfast.
Beautiful.
Like Marissa Goodstone came, she came in over Thanksgiving, and Hadia, Marissa, and I went to Mel's Diner in Hollywood.
I love that.
Yeah, so it was fine. And we sat there for like 3 hours, and the waitress was like, "Are you sure you don't need anything?" And we were like, "Please just refill our coffee.
Let us be.
And walk away." Like, we haven't seen each other in like 6 years. Let it happen.
Well, Hadia, I believe everything she has to say, and her opinions are so valid, and we have a lot of the same taste. So. What did she say about Frozen? I probably missed something.
So she posted an article saying that they'd consulted with the native people and that she really respected the fact that they did that, but she didn't like the fact that the animation didn't necessarily whitewash them, but it alluded to the fact that they were lighter color than they were.
I vaguely remember reading this and also, that being a huge point in contention for...
Right. Yeah. So the issue that I had, and she and I haven't discussed, you know, in full detail of it, the issue that I have with it is that the way that they described it and the way that they did it in the animation made it look like they were, like, they weren't whitewashed. You could tell that they were natives, but they weren't very people of color. You know what I mean? And obviously, this is a Nordic area. We're not expecting them to come
out. Right, and I was just going to mention that. I was like, I don't have enough knowledge, but as you, like, you just mentioned...
A frame of reference for that.
But, I mean, again, like, if people aren't telling stories, then we're never going to know about them. So, like, kudos to the storytelling, but...
But at the same time, you have to also, like... completely respect the fact that Hans Christian Andersen wrote The Snow Queen.
Yes.
And that was a very, like, she is white. She wasn't a real... I have to remember my childhood stories. She was, like, a spirit entity. She wasn't as much of a, like, this is a real queen that people...
Yeah,
like,
she was this weird ethereal being. She just sort of was off. Like, it was more a folklore, like, story than it was actually, like, here's a person that has these magical powers.
Right, so she was an ethereal being, so the fact that they fleshed that out in the first story and gave her a real person, I was kind of like, you're straying from the story that but it towards the second one, as far as things go, the Snow Queen was white. She the whole thing was the fact that if you saw her, she was white as snow, and that was the running thing. But the I think it's interesting that they did take the natives, because the people that they talked to, and I keep saying natives and thinking that that's like the inappropriate term to say. So if you're listening and you know what it is,
just remember we're white and we're just talking things out. So
we're doing our best. Okay.
You know, I always try to stay open, and I never want to make like a statement that's offensive about things, because I know that I don't know everything. you know, as much as like I can claim things in my heritage too, I have to like remember how I identify to the outside world.
I'm also Swiss. They don't tell anyone because people are just like, oh, that's problematic. And they're like, we wouldn't know about that as they like eat their chocolate
the
and call
I
it
know
a day.
About
they're just like chocolate and
Swiss
cheese.
Culture
and they're like, hmm?
Is from the movie Midsummer, which I hope you've seen by now. But
We talked about it. I haven't seen all of it, but I watched parts of it. So I know exactly what happens in it. And can we just have a moment? The crying scene changed my life.
First of all, I feel like I've done that particular exercise in grad school for acting.
What do you mean in grad school?
Well,
we did that in performance one.
Just like that cathartic release of emotion and like that communal aspect of empathy and, you know, all that stuff. But like, yeah,
it just was so confusing.
Yeah, it was.
And beautiful.
And I think my face was like all just like my mouth is just open. Like I didn't even know how to feel in that moment until I've watched it now like 4 times and trying to make sense of it. But I think that's the point is you can't really. And it's just this moment.
Well, that's what I heard about the majority of that movie and like looking into it. And obviously I have done more research on the directing creative side of the movie than I have on the physical side, because as beautiful of a movie as it is, the entire creation process, the entire story that they have behind it is fucking
it's
genius.
Brilliant. And I think like we hop all over the place about our movie stuff, but that's it.
It's runaway rambles. Let it happen.
Just trademarking that.
That's the point of the podcast.
I like this because this is how I think on a normal day, and like no one normally just like keeps up with the whole point
of this podcast was 100% to give people like a 45 minute hour and a half if you're on my Patreon 45 minute just like separation from the real world.
I'm so happy about it, first of all, because I haven't talked to you like in a long time, like actually
I know I heard your voice. I was like, she's so grown up.
I'm an adult. I don't know. That's debatable.
I can't relate. Wouldn't
like,
know.
I'm like a month away from 30 and I'm still questioning the adulthood. So, but it's fine.
It's fine.
But I literally was just so happy because to be able to talk to someone that's not my mom and my stepdad or the animals is very nice. So thank you for having me.
And first of all, we mean that in the family.
I love them.
I really love you.
But
we can't miss you if you don't go away.
Let me just like go away for like an hour and a half and then maybe I'll come back and be like, oh, where were you? You know, kind of situation. But
And then like 2 weeks later, you'll listen to this again and be like, God, that was so needed.
But yeah, I'm happy for all the ramblings and the fact that you also look at movies the way that I look at movies and do that research in the back. So,
well, you and we related to that in school because it was always you, me, and Mallory, or you, Mallory, and I, whatever grammar. And she's off, like, doing cheerleading
She
things
is not
on the
doing
internet.
Cheerleading.
I'm so proud
she's
of her.
Just, like, building her whole
okay.
empire.
Have you seen that, though?
No.
Do you know what I'm talking about? I will have to post it on the runaway fit. Well, I don't know how I'm going to do it. It was her story. Anyway, Mallory did this thing where she was part of, like, the New York cheerleaders for a certain event. But because there was the quarantine, she couldn't do it. So they all got on like a video chat at the same time. We're doing the cheers together. So she posted on her story. It was just like her doing the cheers really slow against the wall. And I was like, what the fuck is this? And then she flipped it around and it was the camera view. And you could see all the girls trying to do it at the same time. And I was like, you are so dumb. And I will protect you with my life.
She is perfect. I feel like she cheerleaded in high school, if I remember that correctly.
She did.
I don't remember seeing the story, but she is just like a physical powerhouse of a woman. And I admire her so much. And
she's
engaged and, like,
now.
Talk about adulthood.
To a beautiful man.
Like, I think that was like one of the first things I said. I was like, hello, who's this? Congratulations. Also, hi. she's perfect.
I mean, I've known about him for a while because she's been posting about him on her stories and like they've lived together and everything. I was like, he looks like he treats her well. And then they went on that
European,
huge like European world tour and she's like, we're engaged. And I was like, you found yourself at Tay Diggs before the cheating, before the bad stuff.
But
the good side of Tay Diggs. Tay Diggs in Rent.
Yeah, that was a good Tay Diggs, wasn't it?
I mean, not the character he played. Benny sucked. But, like, I have noticed being an adult means that you just make a pot of coffee and then take the entire day to drink it and then regret it at like 7 p.m. when you're wide awake.
Yesterday, I was like, my mom, I like kind of remember her saying in the house this morning, like, should we check on her? She's still alive? Because I didn't go to sleep at all last night. I was just like,
oh no, mm-mm. I got like 2.5 hours of sleep. That's fine.
Actually, like, I fell asleep around 6, I guess. And then I slept until I woke up at 1:50. Yeah, I was like, okay, this is weird. I should get a life, but it's fine.
No, it's fine. I know we keep saying we're not going to talk about the pandemic and then we keep going back about it, but time doesn't matter right now. And it's with me having the website and the podcast and all this stuff that I'm trying to do, which part of it is like, let's make a living. And then the other part of it is just a creative outlet because being stuck in your house.
Yeah.
Like, the more I think about it, I'm like, you know what? Jack Nicholson wasn't too crazy when he murdered everyone.
I can relate.
He's fine. I understand why you didn't just open the door and you axed through it, sir. It makes complete logical sense. Say less.
Someone just builds me a hedge maze out in the backyard, and I think I can complete the story. at this point in time.
Not even that. I feel like if you built me a hedge maze out in the back, I would just spend like 3 or 4 hours a day just walking through it, trying to map it all out, just for the sake of having something to do.
That's what I'd be doing. Yeah, I totally agree. And
Austin, my partner Austin, he and we started CSI from the beginning.
How is that?
Because we were so bored.
My mom is obsessed with that.
It's great until Grissom leaves.
I don't watch it at all.
Oh, we love it. It is one of the most intelligently written shows I have ever seen.
Yeah, my mom tends to like it for that too. And I love true crime, don't get me wrong, but like
yeah, but it's like comedy, true crime meets comedy meets like Sherlock Holmes. And the way that they shoot it is, it's like there's a very large amount of dramatic irony. And you know, a bitch loves dramatic irony.
Maybe it's like, what else do I have to do?
Right.
To
so started? It's you're watching. Well, you only need to watch till season 9, episode 6, because that's when Grissom leaves. And after that, I
vaguely remember my mom talking about this as well. I started watching, this is a little while back, but I started watching Law and Order SVU from the very beginning. And
oh, God.
That'll
entertain you for months.
Journey, like an emotional journey that I.
Well, and that one's completely serious. So it's like you can only watch 2 or 3 hours of that a day before you're just like,
I need some form of serotonin. It's a Debbie Downer of a show, that's for sure.
Ugh, Mariska Hargitay. Did you know, fun facts, that she was the original choice for the Power Rangers movie?
Yes, no, no, yes, no.
Okay, so do you remember the Power Rangers movie with Ivan Ooze, the purple guy? So the I cannot remember her name, and Austin's gonna be so mad.
Austin, tell me what it is.
He's great with Power Ranger trivia. He's asleep on the couch, and I'm not gonna be mean. She was supposed to be like the island goddess that they had, but they didn't necessarily like her. It was something to do with the way that she portrayed the character. They were just like, it's good, but it's not what we want. And they found a different girl, which was fine because the other girl was. Like, it worked. But you can still see, like, the behind-the-scenes footage of her in the almost Princess Leia-esque bikini just rocking it out. And I was like, God, so you've literally always been
badass. Yeah, that just, like, secures it.
She's also in, what's that movie? She's in that terrible, terrible horror movie about the little weird puppet monster thingies. Not Puppet Master.
I'll find it and share it later.
He tried to make me watch it. I was like, this is terrible. And then we just watched the part where she has her scream queen moment and dies. And that's all I cared about. She was like 18. And I was like, oh, I love her so much.
She's won
Emmys,
hasn't she? I think.
And yes, all of them for SVU.
That was her crowning moment.
All of them. Did you see her thing on Twitter? She posted a picture and it was like, stay the fuck at home. And it was like her holding her badge up from SVU.
I will listen to that woman tell me anything.
She could literally just be like, you know what? You have to put tinfoil on your head. The aliens are coming. And I'd be like, how much tinfoil in which direction?
Absolutely.
Like, does it matter what brand? Like, what's happening? She's like the Oprah of crime.
And Stabler's coming back, who was her partner for like all those seasons.
I love how you're explaining to me, like, I don't
Stabler.
Know
Stabler. I just like always had a massive crush on him. So
first of all, I knew Ice-T from that show before I knew him from anything else. People are like, the rapper. I was like, what are you
and
talking
you know,
about?
Do you watch John Mulaney skits? Like, do you watch his stand-up?
It depends on what they are. Some of the things he says really make me laugh, particularly the not unless everybody gets real cool about a lot of stuff real fast. Like, that one makes me die. Order
and like how Ice-T just serves as like this emotional, like, just like the giver of information, of exposition. He's like, you mean to tell me that there are 14 bodies sitting over there on the fridge? Like, and that's how he does the accent for Ice-T, and it just makes me die.
I need to watch that. You'll have to send it to me, and then I'll post it to the Facebook page for everyone else to see it. But I loved watching it because I'm like, wait, what the fuck's going on? And then I'll see him come on screen, and I was like, oh, Ice-T's here. We're about to find out.
Yeah,
like
it's very. Delete us.
Like, we're gonna find out, and it's like he looks directly at the camera, and he's just like, listen up, fuckers. This is how it works, and I'm here for that. It makes me laugh very, very hard because I'm like, oh, he's the one comedic break.
That's what John Mulaney calls him out on that, and it's just. You don't realize it until he starts saying like some of the lines and like obviously making up his own of how Ice-T delivers it. And it's just, it's glorious. It's so good.
I think comedians are doing very well in this moment in time because everybody's just like, we can't go see anything. And they're like, oh, have you heard of that?
We'll post it or, you know, I'll record from home and put it on my page. Like, yeah, I think it's a really, really, well, we're not talking about the thing, but it's a the thing.
It's fine. It's fine.
Voldemort. It must not be named. But
it's fine.
Yeah, but you know, I've been talking to a lot of people, like, obviously, because of being in the entertainment industry and working in theater, sort of what shifts will be made, you know, moving forward. And there's, you know,
I'm so excited.
And also, like, with the need for a live audience for the medium of theater and like people being very afraid and anxious about gathering once again. Oh, and then some people not. Let's not talk about the protesters, but you know, that's live theater. That's live theater.
First, I know we said we're not going to talk about it, but we are going to come back and talk about that because I have opinions.
I was like, well, if you want the best form of live theater, just watch these idiots.
We're just going to put a pin in that one. They give me liberty or give me death. My body, my choice. I'm like, Yeah, but it was a woman holding both of those signs. And I was like, how can you be so female and so stupid? Like, it just, have you ever watched American Dad? It just makes me think of Roger where he's like got his hand on his eyes and he's like, you stupid bitch.
Yeah, that's what, I mean, I try not to be hateful, but also.
I don't think it's hateful when you, about it, you know? Like, well, first of all, I can have opinions all I want. This is an explicit podcast.
Brought to you by.
No one is forcing you to listen. So, like, honestly, because this whole thing wasn't even going to happen. And I was just talking about something and somebody was like, you should record it. I would listen to you. And then I've had people tell me, and I talked about this in my last one too. I've had people be like, your voice is so soothing, which I don't understand. I said it in my last episode. I very much am just like, what part was relaxing for you? The part where I said, shut the fuck up, you stupid bitch.
Which part did you like
or,
the most?
Like, what part calmed you? What part helped you find where you need to be? Please enlighten me.
And but I was just going to say, because I did, like, only one, not even episode, but I did, like, the campfire stories. That I was just, like, reading scary stories. And,
yes, and I was so, that was so cool.
Pretty good weather, so maybe tonight. But anyway, a friend texted me and was like, I could listen to you talk all day. I was like, really? It's a weird kiss.
You don't want to see yourself. You don't want to hear yourself. And then people that you've interviewed or any, oh my God, a preach. Anytime that people are just like, you're such a good person to have on here. You're so much fun to interview and you have like lots of things to say. And I'm like, really? Because I am. And I was like, I think.
Yes, thank you. Can you just say thank you?
Thank you?
Yeah, it's weird. Like,
it's straight up back to those commercials where people are like, thank you. And they're like, oh my God, you're so nice.
Yeah,
like that's
and I guess,
straight
I,
up.
I don't know, like I'm so obviously self-criticism for, you know, the things that I do in life. And yeah, when a couple theater,
well, we're also theater majors. So we were kind of
taught.
Always
criticize what you're doing in performance. But yeah, a couple people like reached out and was like, I could listen to you talk all day. And I was like, wow, that's, thank you. Like you said, like just thanks. Creepy, but thank you.
Yeah,
because like, man, if I really sound annoying, like I would feel really bad for everybody, you know?
Oh my God. Yeah. Biggest fear in the world is when I first put this out, I was, and I say it in the first one, I don't know if I left it in there or not, but there's literally a part where I'm like, the internet is going to bully me. That's just all I'm saying. Like, they're going to bully me.
People are
going to
make fun of the way
so
I look and talk and I sound weird and all these other things.
No, well, I'm happy that it's mostly a podcast, because if you see my face on YouTube, people are going to be like, that's a weird voice to be coming out of a man's mouth.
Did not expect that.
And then I have to remind people that I'm gender fluid and, and 13 types of homosexual.
I want to be. Thank you very much for your opinion.
It's always fun when you do that, and then I like when girls get mad. Like, if I do they get mad at me, and they're like, boys shouldn't wear makeup. Oh, it's great. I've gone out before, and I've had my makeup done, and I've had girls be like, I don't like that you're wearing yet. Listen, this was really cute. One of my friends, Allison, she posted that it was a meme about gender reveal parties, but instead of it being a gender reveal party, it's like a...
I have thoughts on that, but anyway, go ahead.
So she basically posted this thing where it was like a meme saying that, I know we have gender reveal parties when people are babies, but like, why don't we do that for trans people or gender fluid people when... like a coming out party for them. So she hosted one. And I got to go, and a bunch of other people went, and like, it was just a bunch of queer people and queer and like their allies in a room, and they like brought gifts and all this other stuff, and I wasn't expecting anything. I left with a really nice makeup mirror.
Oh, that's awesome.
Like, thank you.
Yeah.
So yeah, we just had fun, and we were like talking and everything, but I decked myself out. I wore my signature like pink glitter. My hair was in braids, like,
perfection.
You know, the typical me look. Yeah. Smoked out, and I walked in, and I'm in Target picking up veggies because I didn't do anything else. So I brought it like a veggie train, and people are staring at me. And I was like, why are y'all looking at me? I was like, I am in Hollywood.
Yeah. I think that's like the fact that you're, you know, in Hollywood. And again,
it's the gay capital.
Yeah. And I just like, again, I'm in North Carolina. We could talk about that all day of how like it's just conservative central. But yeah, I just, and I've said this to like a lot of friends before, that if I ever have kids, like I want to do a gender reveal, but I literally want to just release like white balloons or like black balloons. You know what I mean? Cause I just, that's the type of person that I am. And I want things gender neutral. And I just am a very firm believer of that. And you know, I feel very strongly about that.
I'm here with you.
Yeah. So I'm really like, I'm really, really excited to hear that a gender reveal for adulthood is a thing and that you went to that, because that's amazing.
I was celebrating this. So it was really cool. And I'm in a group on Facebook called the Two Genders, which is basically just like they share memes of things that are like boy or girl, but they're fucking useless. Yeah. Like there are things that shouldn't be gendered but are. I posted a one in there yesterday that sparked a very large controversy.
Ooh.
I was very much like, I was like, y'all, this just made me laugh. I'm sorry. It was a picture of a guy rolling a stroller with a baby in it, and somebody walks up and he's like, oh, is it a boy or a girl? She goes, well, it's a child,
a baby.
He's like, yeah, but is it a boy or a girl? She goes, oh, do you mean, is it a penis or a vagina? Oh, it's a penis, spraying like fire hose all over the place. And I laughed so hard.
Yeah, that's
so
perfect.
Incredibly hard. Especially because the guy's face is like twitchy eyed. He's like, what? And he's like, well, that's what you're asking, right? What the genitalia are? And I laughed. Yeah. So I posted it in the group, and all these people are just like, well, you should, you know, not raise a baby like this, or you should raise a baby like that. And they're like, why
also,
is it a big deal?
Nobody gets to decide how you raise your child. Like, and also
first
and foremost. And second of all, like, even if you raise your child a certain way, does not mean how that's the end game. You know, like, it just, like, no one can tell you what you can and can't say as a parent to your child.
Right.
Like,
well, I mean, child protective services.
Yeah,
can,
well,
but let's
not
get
not
that.
Hit a child, maybe. But,
Mariska will come in, be like, SVU.
Kiss on a door. Yeah.
And full circle.
Yeah, we made it. There we go. Hello.
Woo.
Here we are. At an old job that I had, like, it was a very conservative place that I was at, and we had this big seminar, and it was Respect My Red, which you can go on Twitter or Google it, and it's amazing. It's just representation for sexual harassment in the workplace and how and sort of like an abbreviated lesson on how people identify and what sex is versus gender and sexual identity versus, you know, preference, like all of these different things that are really, really, really important. And I, like, after that scenario, like, I had to step out and explain it to the people around me what that even was. And I, you know, at the end of the day, I was like, you know, I'm just an ally. Like, I, you know, I'm, as far as I can say, like, I, you know, I identify as straight and these kind of things. But I was like, at the end of the day, for pronouns and these sort of things, like, it's not about you, it's about them. It's about she, he, they. It's about what they want to be called. And you can't take an offense to that.
Well, and it takes 10 seconds to correct it.
Exactly. And like, and I think the best, and what I, all I said was like, the best thing you can do is ask the questions. I was like, and not make it about you and your, you being uncomfortable or a novice to these kind of ideals. It's just asking what they want.
100%. Like, as someone who is gender fluid, who does have pronoun preferences, who does have a name preference, I am 10 times more likely to be frustrated if you mislabel me or like dead name me or anything, yeah, and I have to correct you more than once, rather than if you are like, hey, so what's your situation here, like what do you prefer, even if it's really like clunky when you're just like, how do I talk to you, like if you don't know how to say it, I'm gonna respect you more for at least respecting me enough to
and
go
just admitting that
there's a discrepancy here,
admitting you have,
how do you want me to approach,
you have a gap in that knowledge, or like, you know, you truly just want to know. It's just it's a sign of respect, and you know, we've talked about that before, and you know, you don't, mm-hmm, you don't realize too, like, it's of course as adults and people our age, but you'd be surprised, like as someone, which you know too, like someone that's taught children, you know, they're very aware of how they identify in the world at a very young age, and a lot of people don't think that's a thing, you know, and especially in theater, obviously it's an open community. Like, I like to lead with, you know, if you understand this concept, like how do you identify? And it's surprising, and not in a bad way, but it's surprising, like how many people are very, these children are very aware of how they are to be labeled in this world. And they know that, even though that maybe wasn't how they were born, so to speak, you know what I mean? Like it's a beautiful thing. It's a beautiful thing.
And it's really obvious to notice it. And part of the conversation that they were talking about is they're like, well, if you raise the children without gender, then it's going to make their life harder. And I was like, first of all, let's clarify, because agender is a gender, and that is the absence of gender, and saying without gender typically implies that they are agender, and that's not fair. Raising them without a gender structure is completely different. Like, they're not, like, I get what you're trying to say, but you're not using the right words. So there's that thing, and it's less of a let me be cocky and teach you, and more of a hey, I see what you're doing, this is how you actually do it, let's go. And it's like a respect, like you respect me enough to attempt this, let me help push you to the right, you know. So it goes from there, and people were just like, well, it's going to make them crazy, it's going to make them this. And I was like, as a child who grew up with a gender structure and immediately regretted it and has severe gender dysphoria and dysmorphia, no, if I grew up with the mentality of you can do whatever you want, and there wasn't girls do this, boys do that, I think I would have been significantly happier with myself. Now, that's not by any means saying my parents didn't do a good job, or like I'm mad at them or anything like that. It has nothing to do with them. It's just the fact that like I didn't figure this all out until I was like 27.
Right. And so you have,
imagine how I would have
And having the language, imagine, and knowledge, and like knowing, and it's hard too, because like if you're, you know, brought up by a cis couple who isn't aware of those things, you know, and it, like you said, it's not a fault of the parents, it's just how they reciprocate that information or give that back to you once like you can have a conscience of saying like this is how I identify. And it's complicated.
I said it was a societal flaw.
It's complicated, and it's not easy. And it's the uncomplicated thing though is just to listen and just like say what do you want from me,
that's more complicated than you would think for some people.
And I can't, you know, again, I am not a parent, I don't have kids, I have not faced this. A lot of, I guess I've thought about it a lot more lately because so many of my friends are having babies, you know, it's 'tis the season, I guess. And I love them
to have
babies. And I love them, don't get me wrong. Like, but it's a lot of things of figuring out what kind of parent would I be and like how I'd react. But I don't fear for those sort of situations or those conversations if they were to come up. I'm like, okay, let's do it your way. Like, you know, like what do you want to do? And I think that's good. But again, like everybody has to learn, and I am not ever saying that I know everything there is, but at least like I try to be respectful enough to say like what do you need from me so that I can help.
Well, you're also smart enough to be the correct type of ally, where if a trans person is not in the room, you speak on their behalf. But if I were in the room, you wouldn't talk. And then if a trans person was in the room, I wouldn't talk, because like, I'm technically under the trans bracket, but I'm gender fluid. So when somebody's like, what's it like to be transgendered? I'm going to be like, take it away, like, Laverne Cox, because that's not my conversation.
That's not my place in the room. And I think like too, like the facilitation of conversation, like to make it comfortable for those individuals to speak too, you know, and like, it's just everybody has, I learned this, you know, we all learn this, like everybody has a place in the room in which they stand from and tell their story or tell a story. And I think it's all valid, you know, and you just have to be open to those stories. I'm like on my soapbox right now, well, so forgive me, but.
You're totally fine. And Hadi and I have talked about that before, because then the flip side of that is you as an ally, it puts you in the perspective of, one of the things that Hadia has said to me that I always laugh at, but not from like a ha-ha perspective, more like a wow, this bitch is really trying it, is when people try to tell her how to do things and she's like, yes, please be white and tell me how it works to be black.
What is that about? Like, it's, no.
Well, it's the same. It's the same thing. Yeah. It's like when you talk to people about gender and things like that, they're like, well, this is how it works. And I'm like, I'm pretty sure I'm the gender fluid person, but go off.
And I certainly, like, exposure to certain people and experiences make you more knowledgeable. But at the end of the day, like, you're not living that truth. Like, you're not, you know, and that's all you can be. And I think, like, again, like, this is all wrapped up in feminism, white privilege, and all those other things. Like, you just have to know when to go, all right, like, and just, it's not your story, it's not your identity, you know, that's not how you identify, and you're never gonna have that experience if you're not that person, you know.
Well, I can tell you right now, as somebody who has had that experience, that there are certain times and certain situations where people are like, aren't you gender fluid, shouldn't you know what this means? And I was like, you're right, I should, but no.
And you can admit that though, and say, like, you know, I know I don't have that perspective, you know. And
well, I'm also, you know, physically masculine, the way that I present, unless I'm wearing makeup or my hair or whatever, but body wise, DNA, chromosomal, all those fun things, I present masculine. So I'm white, I'm tall, I literally got all of the good things, and then the rest of the world was just like, make it queer. And so that so just like for a sprinkle of flavor.
Just a little bit of sprinkle.
So I always tell people I'm not for this. And then I just walk away.
Oh. Yeah, it's true though. And I think, like, it, you know, again, I it's taken time, and not in a bad way, but like, you, for me, because I'm speaking for myself, like realizing my privilege in this world, and also realizing what structures are in place to put me down, you know. And but at the same time, like, I am aware of where I stand in the room and what privilege I have, and using that to be an ally to other people, to give them voice, is so important to me. And, you know, I think, you know, I also see people that have different microaggressions against, you know, race, ethnicity, you name it. And I get fearful when people play a very big victim card. You know,
God, I was just talking
and
about
again,
this,
like,
last
I'm
night.
I'm not of that thing, so God. I can't tell someone how to feel about their marginalization in the world. You know, I can't say that, but I also am saying, like everybody has privilege in a different kind of way, and figuring out how you can utilize that to give voice and structure. And
well, at the same time, having a privilege doesn't make you a bad person.
It's just, you just need to recognize
just
what,
like,
that is.
It's the same as when people of color are like, well, all white people are racist. And they're like, no, we're not. I was like, yes, you are. Everything that is founded in racism, whether you yourself are acting on racism or not, is not the same thing. Like, if Hadia says that, hey, that's a racist thing, she's not saying that I am being racist. She's saying, hey, this action, this behavior that you're doing is founded inherently in black
and racism,
or in racism, and you need to you need to focus on that. And watching people be like, well, I'm not a racist, then just be like, that's not
that's
you're
not
listening,
that's not,
but okay,
what it's just being, like, very mindful of what privilege you carry in this world, and everybody has it. Everybody has it in some way. It could be,
it's just like saying everyone has baggage.
It doesn't
mean you're
bad.
It doesn't mean you're broken. Some people's is worse than others. Some people have more than others.
You
it's
know,
fine.
I've
but like
contact with a lot of people that, like, no matter what, like, again, those marginalizations are, like, I don't even know how to phrase it. It's just like it's constantly just like, I have no authority, or I have no presence or voice because of these things. And I'm like, is that true though? Like, is that always true?
There's a difference between taking a stand for yourself and accepting defeat. And I think that that's something that I have gotten very, very good at, especially with my platform and my website my website and everything, because I tell my story of leaving a toxic relationship and building myself up, but going away from that. And I think it's very important for people to understand that there is a difference between being a victim of a situation, understanding that you were a victim of that, mm-hmm. and growing from it, and continuing to talk about being a victim from that. Like, I share my story constantly. I talk about my story. I talk about this over the time. But I don't think that there's a single person who can say, like, oh, hey, you're being a victim and trying to get pity. Like, no, I'm not trying to get pity. I'm trying to share my story so people understand that you can grow and you can change.
Yeah, and everybody... Oh, sorry.
The conversation...
I was just... No, go, know, go, go. Just to find out, too, like, trauma is trauma. And trauma manifests in different ways. And sometimes there is a victimization that comes along with that. But it's also, like you said, it's the growing through it, not past it, because I don't think anybody ever does. Like, and myself included.
Well,
like,
I don't think it's fair to... I don't think it's fair to say growing past it in any way or form, because like all the things that I went through in college that you know about that I don't openly share because like that's we just don't need to open that can of worms.
Well, and it makes you who you are in the best and worst ways ever.
Exactly.
Like,
I
too,
would
like,
never write. I would never wish this on anyone else, but it has given me the clarity to understand how to aid people in other situations. Like it's what you do with it. Like everybody is a victim of circumstance in some way or another. It's what you do with that circumstance.
Yeah, and I think too, like not everybody is able to pick themselves out of that either. It's a luxury to be able to do that and transform it into something that's powerful. And it's fine
100%.
That if you cannot do that, but I also like everybody has their own journey. It's so like cliche to say, but like everybody has their own journey through it.
I don't
like,
think it's cliche at all.
You have to respect that. And I really like, I mean, I admire you and people like you that can say like, you know, these are things that happen to me and this is how I work through them. And
yeah, but at the same time, I fully recognize the fact that I am so fortunate in the fact that I have been able to recognize my strength and my growth and things from this. Because for most people, it's the trauma and they just want to move on and they want to heal coming from an abusive relationship or anything. They don't want to talk about it. They want to get over it. Whereas for me, it was a, hey, I'm 6'4". I'm this large. I'm able to do these things. I'm going to act the way I act because if I can do it, it's going to give some 5-foot-nothing kid that's 100 pounds soaking wet the confidence
and
to
it
do
makes
the
world
thing.
A difference. You never know who's listening or you know can take things that you say and
I say that all the time. Well, and then you have to understand that, and I keep bringing this up every time I talk about it, is that if you and I have a conversation and then you think I'm full of shit, you go talk to somebody else and you're making fun of it, but they needed to hear that message, even though you're making fun of it, they're going to get the message.
Again, it's where they're standing in the room to absorb that information being given to them. And I mean, I don't know. I at the end of the day, like I as someone that has suffered a lot of trauma in their lives through many, many different things. Like it's how can I help assist or not even assist, but just give someone maybe the tools to think about it in a different way.
Well, and it's, I don't, not to like put words in your mouth here, but assist,
no,
I don't
no,
think
it's
the
said.
Correct,
it's
not correct. No. The easiest way to say it, I think it's more of like a, you're there to support. And it's just one of, not support and like the, you need help, but it's one of those things where it's like, hey, if I can make this load any lighter on you,
It's back to the empathy.
Show
thing.
Me.
It's just like I.
We're trying to have like, a fucking community here, guys.
You know, I was glad. Like one of the things that I say is like it's really not hard being a human, but in fact it is. It is very very hard.
It's terribly hard. Thank you.
I'm just like be a human. Just like be empathetic. Be all these things, and like obviously it's so hard. It's
hard to be a human.
Yeah,
it's not
exactly.
hard to be a
and,
decent
and I,
person.
That's what it comes down to, and I think like. You know, you just got to take the time and listen. And like you said, like taking what you have and experience, just, you know, if it could be of any sort of light in someone else's life, like that's huge. That's huge. It really is. So
anyway, so I love how we started talking about hair feminism. And now we're like feminism, world
you
rights.
You know, doesn't it always make a full circle like that?
It's fine. Oh, well, I mean, honestly, talking about hair care and then talking about feminism kind of goes hand in hand because whatever. While we're here, while we're on the topic of feminism, the one thing that bothers me with feminism is the new age radical feminists that are like, oh, it's only for women, it's only for this. I was like, if your feminism doesn't include queer, gender fluid, normal, differently abled, whatever, yes, people, and then who
also,
is it for?
Like, it should include, like, men. Feminism is about, I'm on these soapboxes. Feminist is about
equality. It's about equality.
Equality doesn't mean that you're a man hater. And that's why, like, you know, obviously so many.
Is it equality or equity?
Yes.
Equity?
Yes. Equity is a better, I think,
equity
choice word for that. But I guess
everyone is met, yes, where they are, yes, and given what they need to, yes, succeed from where they are. For those of you that like, are like, what the fuck is happening?
Here, like, here, this is what this means. But I think that that's super important. Is like, it's such a big eye roll to anybody, not just women, just anybody that identifies as a feminist. But yeah, like, I think, like, anybody that can identify that, it's not like, why are you hating on certain individuals, specifically men, a lot of the time?
Also, if your success comes from someone else's failure or stopping,
feminism.
Why? That's not anything. If the only way for you to be successful is for someone else or a group of people, mm-hmm, or something to fail, yeah, you're not doing well. Capitalism,
yes,
I'm talking,
yes,
to you.
But that's exactly it. And I sort of, like I said, big eye roll to those conversations. And I find myself like, I just will fade into the darkness when the shifts kind of happen in that way. Because
it's called self-care. And people are just like, wait, you did what? I was like, yeah, I'll comment on somebody's post. And then when I realize that it's not worth my time, I just turn the notifications off. So they're just yelling at me in the background. And I'm kind of like,
yeah, I've recently, I don't even know what the conversation was about, but I was like, goodbye. Like, I just deleted them, and I was like, I just don't care.
Oh, I just don't care. I love when they pull the, then unfriend me, and I'm like, they say unfriend me, and then keep typing, but yeah, I've already unfriended them, so I can't see any of it. And they're just like, they unfriended me. I guess that means also, I win. Yeah. It doesn't, no. Walking away from the conversation, nope, doesn't mean that you win. It means that I just don't care. Also, can we... I'm just having so many tangents and like throwing my arms up like an angry, I'm Big Ange at this current moment in time. Rest her soul.
Yeah.
Beautiful woman. Anyway, oh my God. If you walk away from a conversation, it doesn't mean you win. And you're on Facebook and you have this whole thing where people associate Facebook friends and followers and vanity metrics to their worth. And they're like, oh, well, we're not friends because we're not friends on Facebook, or we fight and we don't do this. Like, no, bitch, I can still care about you. I still want you to eat.
Yeah,
you're just not welcome at my table. Like, I don't want
to
see you starve, but I ain't going
to
cook for you.
Like, social media is just a demon when it comes to any of that stuff.
It is a demon,
you know,
but it helps pay my bills.
I wish
so
that it helped me.
And she is always chasing a bag.
You know, well,
always.
Just in terms of like face value Facebook, you know, I
barely use Facebook for that. I'm more Instagram. I love Twitter. Twitter is a mess. It's a mess that I will hold near and dear to my heart. I just recently started using Reddit,
you know,
because
a lot of
I'm
people,
old.
Yeah, I was like,
that
a lot of
is a blast.
Reddit. I don't use that, but I'm always curious, like, how people, like, because I am fully here for someone marketing themselves through social media. I think that's so important, and we all do it, whether or not we're conscious of it or not. You get
yeah. The only difference is I get
and I think
it.
Like that's, you know, when I just. Social media is hard because, especially with someone that suffers from anxiety and depression, and amongst other things, it's like, show me how big your dick is, you know, a lot of times. And I just, I'm
oh
not,
my God,
again,
yes.
Like, I would be lying if I said I don't post a selfie or I don't do this. Like, of course I do that.
Instagram for me is like that. So my Instagram, I did all of this as a way to control what I can't control, because we know with mm-hmm. my back and all this other stuff and just like, the current pandemic, all this, life is a mess, and I needed something that I can control, i.e. your hair.
Absolutely.
From the previous conversation. So my Instagram is like this perfect layout of what I want things to look like. It's curated, it's like little narratives. I've had quite a few people be like, your descriptions are too long, I don't want to read them. And I'm like, okay,
yeah,
well then they're
right.
Not for you. But my story on Instagram is a hot fucking mess. It's whatever I feel like showing. It's just like,
Instagram is such like a weird, like an aesthetically way to tell a story versus like the very like, you know, verbal, well, not verbal, but text driven way that Facebook is. And I think, yeah. And it's, you know,
it's visual storytelling.
Yes. And you know, Facebook's trying to be more like Instagram
as an artist.
At the same time, like, it's never gonna be. Yes.
Well, they're owned
it's
by the same company, and it doesn't work. And then Facebook did that update for like all of 2 days, where it was laid out like Twitter was, and then Facebook users were like, "Oh no, not this!" They pulled a Jan. They were just like, "Not this."
Yeah. To circle back on Facebook, like as soon as Facebook started saying that like you could add to your story, I was like, "Okay, all right, this is not Instagram." Like,
because 9 times out of 10, it's people just sharing sharing tweets, Instagram pictures, and memes. And like, I want to see what you're doing in your life. Stop showing me a fucking meme yeah, that right. I've seen from yep. 800 other pages. Yep. Oh, so it's that. So I have my story link. So anything that I post to my Instagram story automatically goes to my Facebook story. And it's way easier because then I don't have to post on multiple platforms. And then my Facebook can be me typing and talking to people and doing what I want and like having conversations. Whereas my Instagram is like, this is my perfectly right. curated box of how everything looks. And I don't mean that in the sense of like, I'm
no, but
people
very much
Instagram,
follow like, yeah.
But it's very much want, like this is what I want.
It's aesthetically like,
it's aesthetically pleasing.
Our artists that do their Instagram like that. I'm not one of them, but not like, not that I ever like say anything about people that do, because I think like it's a really, really cool thing that people can create for themselves as a creative outlet and to represent who they are. But and like you said, like my stuff is linked too, but I just like
your posts are always all over the place and I love them.
It's very, very much me. I think nothing surprises me more than like, you know, you can see who viewed your story and like seeing literally like 150 or more, you know, that's a very small number compared to like, but you go like,
it makes you feel good,
like, or at least enough to look at the first part of the story. And I've called out people before. I'm like,
see,
listen,
right.
if I have 162 people on that first story and only 98 left on the last one, I have not done my job. I haven't kept them here.
My biggest issue with Instagram is that people are posting it just for the vanity of it. Whereas for me, I realized that I like the artistic creative layout of expressing things and visual
yeah,
storytelling because I
yeah.
have anxiety. Helps me calm. So that works for me. But the thing that I hate is the community, the niche that I'm in is very like Bujo art organization. Fine. I post stuff to engage in a conversation and then people, mm-hmm. they just like the pic because they're like, oh, it's pretty. And then they just leave it. I'm like, talk to me. Because that's the whole point for me. I want to make a connection. And that's the whole thing. And people haven't realized this, but Instagram has been talking about it. They're getting rid of likes. I mean, you can still like people's pages, but you can't see it. It's going to be more of like, if you like it, it'll
right.
show up more in your feed. So it'll affect the algorithm.
Well, that's how TikTok are.
And they're only going to show people that communicate with you. Like, I only want to follow people that I genuinely have interest in seeing. So if you're engaging with me, I'm obviously going to follow you. And then there's people like you and Mallory and all these other things that I have a genuine interest in. And I want to see how you're doing. Because Facebook doesn't do that for me the same way. And like this, I can still see some stuff. I can still check in on you. And then I don't have to follow people. Like, there's certain people right. that I check their page every day, but I don't follow them. I just yeah. know to check their page because I like seeing their stuff. But I have the mentality of, you know, those rich, successful people where it's you surround yourself with the people yeah. that you want to be like. So that's what I use my Instagram for. So when people are just like, you don't follow back and that's why your ratings are low. And I was like,
what?
I'm sorry, who are you? I don't know. I haven't done any of the shit they told me to and it's been getting better.
Whatever.
Evolved, people, whichever.
Oh gosh, but yeah, I think that's it's gonna happen, and I feel myself getting older every day with the interaction of the stuff that I use.
I can't.
So,
and that is about where our audio decides to be so messy that I can't deal with it, which sucks because we don't get to hear Casey talk about her campfire stories, how she basically just reads and tells scary stories on. Over Facebook Live, but she will be joining a podcast with that soon. So if you would like to know more about that, please sign up for our newsletter. We will be sending out information on Casey's podcast and on Casey's campfire stories to keep you all in tune. Thank you so much to Casey for joining us on Runaway Rambles. If you stuck it out through the whole thing, thanks for putting up with that audio quality. It was an experience. And now, let's talk about how you can be involved with us. If you like what we do here at Redhead Runaway, you can sign up for our newsletter. All of the information is going to be in the description box in the show notes. You can visit redheadrunaway.com/newsletter to sign up, and we'll get things sent directly to your email. You can learn about all of our new updates, tips, tricks, and things that we have going on. If you would like to join us for a ramble or be a part of this podcast, you can send an email to podcast@redheadrunaway.com. We will get back to you as soon as we can to book an interview or a ramble session with you. If you like everything that you heard from Casey, be sure to check her out on all of the social medias. All of her information is going to be in the show notes, so go show her some love for being here with us. Other than that, We will see you on Friday when our next YouTube video comes out. So be sure to check that out, like and subscribe, and then share this podcast with anyone that you think might be interested. Because, you know, the world's a bit crazy and it's kind of nice to just ramble a bit. Bye!